Philippians chapter 2 this morning. And well, let's start at verse 1. That's a good place to start. And we'll go down, we're going to go down to verse number 13 this morning. All right? And tell you what, the message this morning I know it'll be an encouragement to you. I know it'll be a blessing. It's a blessing to me. And when you think about it, when we contemplate it, we just sang about the greatness of God. Amen. And that's what we want to see this morning. The greatness of God, the power of God, how great God is. But not only how great God is out there in the world, but specifically this morning, it's how great God is in you. The message this morning is simply this: God is working in you. That ought to be encouraging. God is working in you. You might not see it. You might not believe it. You know, it's the truth. Amen. God is working in you right now, today, in your life. And that's what we want to see in Philippians this morning. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes, and he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. And now Paul's going to go on and tell us about our responsibility, what we should be doing, and how we should be thinking and living. And he says this: fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And now he's going to give us the example of Christ, which we're to follow in it, and it lines right up. You compare those first few verses, verse 1 down through verse number 3, with verse 5 down through verse number 8, you'll see that everything Paul's encouraging us and challenging us and teaching us for how we ought to live is seen in the life of Jesus Christ as he lived upon this earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so Paul starts and he says, it's all about Christ. And then he starts and says, here's how our perspective, our mind, our heart should be, and our life. And then he gives us the example of Christ. And then he goes on in verse number 9. And now he says, look what God did. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he says, and look at what God did. Did you see the greatness of God, that when Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, God highly exalted him? We see the person of Christ and the position that God gave him, and the purpose that God would be glorified. God also hath highly exalted him. And now Paul says, okay, now let's just take those thoughts and those truths and relate them to our life. All right? Because listen, the Bible is supposed to apply to our lives. It's supposed to affect our lives. This is how God works. He works through the Word. Word of God is quick and powerful, and God works through his word to affect your life. I mean, your real life, to really change you. And so Paul says this: wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And Paul says, okay, now live out your salvation. Believe God, trust God, obey God. Just live. You know, the beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ and the beautiful thing about the Gospels and beautiful thing that we can see is, you know, one day Jesus chose some men, his disciples. And you know what the most wonderful thing about that is? These guys that he chose, they were just simple people, just like you and me. They were just simple men, right? Fishermen, right? Fishermen, that's how they earn their living. Farmers, right? I mean, weasels. Tax collector. I mean, they were men, just simple. In fact, the Bible says that when people looked at them and saw them, they were amazed. They said, these guys are unlearned and ignorant men, and yet they saw something different, and they said, the only thing we can surmise out of all this, the only thing we can come up with is they've been with Jesus. And God took simple men and changed their lives. Changed their lives dramatically. Men like Peter and men like Andrew and Simon and James and John. Peter, a guy that couldn't keep his mouth shut, outspoken. And yet God says, well, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make you a powerful spokesman with the gospel. Men like James and John, and guys that, you know, you could easily provoke them and get them upset. And then God takes this guy, John, and makes him the apostle of love, most loving man in the world. You know, men like Thomas, always questioning, always doubting, becomes a man of faith because God was doing a work. And Paul comes down in Philippians chapter 2 and he says this. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says something. This is what we want to focus on this. For it is God. Look what he says in verse 13. This is the verse. This is what we want to get this morning. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God. Paul says, yes, you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is believe God. Believe the word of God. Trust God. Follow Christ. Live in obedience to the word of God. He says, what you need to understand and remember is God's the one doing a work in your life. You know, one of the things that characteristic of my life is I love to watch building projects going on. People talk about distracted driver. I'm a distracted driver because I like to see what's going on. Building projects. You know, I loved landscape construction because I loved just working on things and seeing things done. And, you know, building projects are amazing when you think of them from start to finish. And the reason I bring this illustration because every one of you is a building project. We're building projects of God. God is the one that has the purpose, plan, the power, and we're the project. And he's working, right? You know, I was thinking back on some of the projects that I was involved in landscape construction. And where they started out and what they finished up. And everyone's different. I was involved in the Bangor Shopping Mall. I'll never forget it. We had a lot of fun working up there. But it was a cow pasture, right? It was a cow pasture. That's what it was. In fact, when they first opened the Bangor Shopping Mall, you had to drive up the entrance to the mall, and there were cows on either side because the farmer didn't sell them the whole piece. I don't know whether it was a joke or he was just holding out for more, but when you drove up the road, right, when you drove up the road, there's cows on this side, cows on this side, and I think they were just looking and laughing at all the money that was being spent, you know. But anyways, other projects. We did a project in Boston, right in the middle of Boston. It was on a bank, one of those huge banking buildings in Boston, and we did a rooftop garden on the top of this bank. And you know, it was neat. We were young and. We had a blast because we would go in there and we'd be in work boots and jeans and, you know, t-shirts, and we're dirty and got dirt all over us and everything else. And we had to walk in the front doors of the bank. Imagine this is Boston. Front doors of this big bank with our wheelbarrows and shovels into the elevator, take the elevator up to the rooftop, and then go out the door and then work. All the supplies had to be lifted up by a crane onto the top of the roof. And you know, I just thinking back, I can imagine how many people that worked in that bank, in those offices, in their suits and ties, would look and say, what is going on? Who are these guys? What is going on? You know, because you know what? No one in all of that bank, I don't know how many floors there were, I don't know how many people worked there, not one of those people got to see what was going on until it was all finished. They couldn't see because it was way up high. You know, that's the thing about our lives, folks. We're building projects. And you know, we can't see all that's going on, but God does, because God knows. We had another project. Another project that really I enjoyed was right over here in Stonington. We built a steeplechase for horses, you know, and initially it was just acres and acres and acres of woods and overgrown brush and everything else. And first, before we could do anything else, all the land had to be cleared. Trees had to be cut down, the brush had to be cleared, and it all had to be taken away. In fact, we spent a good deal of time digging these big ditches to bury all the stumps and all the debris and everything else way off in another part. And that was before we could even begin building and making it beautiful. You know what? That's what God does with our life. Before we speak about some of these things this morning, you know what the first thing God does? He has to clean up your life. He has to remove all the sin. And he did that at the cross of Calvary, didn't he? When Jesus paid for your sin with his blood. And he takes all that sin, and you know what he does? He doesn't have to dig a big pit. He pulled you out of a pit. But he takes it, and he buries it in the deepest sea. He says it'll never be brought up again. And then he begins to build your life. That's what I want us to see this morning. Because you know, in Philippians chapter 2, it says this: it is God which worketh in you. That word worketh, when you see that word work in Philippians 1 and Philippians 3 and Philippians 2, Philippians 1, 2, and 3, when you see that word working, that power, listen, that word in the New Testament is only speaking about supernatural power. Speaking about the power of God. It's not speaking about the power that you have or the strength that you have. It's speaking about what God can do. For what God is doing in your life, no one else can do. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. And God is doing it. God is doing it. I went the other day up to, God burdened my heart to just go visit this man. He's been coming to church and up in Willimantic. Spanish man, doesn't speak any English. And God just burdened my heart to go speak to him. I needed to know if he wanted to be saved or if he was saved. And so I went up the other Friday and went up and I met with him. And God worked it out that he was all alone. So I got to talk with him. And I went through the gospel with him and started talking to him. And he says to me, he said, you know, he says, one day when you gave an invitation to be saved, he says, I prayed. And I said, praise the Lord. So, and because I saw what God was doing in his life. And folks, listen, sometimes we go through life and we forget what God is doing. We forget what God is doing. Sometimes the days just keep going on and on and on and on and on. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, God's working in your life. He is working in your life. If there's only one thing you get out of this message this morning, it's this: God is working in you. God is working. And listen, I can stand here on the Word of God and say that with all authority of Jesus Christ. He is working in you. God is right now working in your life. And to me, I tell you what, I look out and I say, praise God. I look in the mirror. You know, I look in the mirror. I don't like what I see sometimes, right? I walked 10 miles yesterday. Just exercise, 10 miles. Thought, surely I'm going to lose some weight. Get on the scale this morning. No. Say, wait a minute. You know, we look in the mirror and sometimes we say, is anything happening? Listen, you look in the book of Philippians, and I tell you what, you'll see something. You'll see something happening. And here it is in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. God, which worketh in you. And look what it says, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So this morning, I want to talk to you about God's building project. That's you. That's me. God's building project. Because there's some three simple but encouraging truths in the book of Philippians about God's building project. What he's doing and what he's going to do and why he's doing it. But three simple truths this morning. And if you've been involved in building projects, you'll see. You'll understand it. You'll get it. Number one, and forgive me because I wanted to make this simple, and yet I wanted to what's that word? Yeah, see, that's a big word. But I want to make it homiletical because you folks that take notes. So I'm trying to think three words, right? So the first one is the commencement of the project. And then I thought, commencement. Yeah, the beginning. It has to start somewhere, right? The beginning of the project. We'll go to Philippians chapter. Actually, that's not the word I... Stop. Before you write that down, okay? I changed it to a better word. The continuing work in the project. The continuing work. Because my life verse is Philippians chapter 1. And it starts about a beginning work. But it's so important because it says it's not just about starting, it's about continuing. What God is continuing to do. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing. Being confident of this very thing. Folks, God wants you to be confident in this. That he which hath begun a good work. What's those next two words? In you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So many times when we think of salvation, we think, and rightly so, we think of what God does for us. What God does through Christ. What God does for us. And what a blessing it is to think of what God does for us through salvation. He's forgiven all my sins. Right? He did that for me. He's given me eternal life. He did that for me. He's guaranteed me a home in heaven. He's done that for me. But Paul says something different. He goes further. He says, it's not only what God has done for you, but he says, it's what God is doing in you. What God has done in you. Being confident, this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. What, Paul, what are you speaking about? What are you talking about? Paul says, God started a project. He's forgiven you. He's cleansed your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He's forgiven all your trespasses.
It's not just that God is working from the outside. God is working inside. Inside. The Bible says he gives us a new heart. A new life, a new mind. But I want to specifically focus on one thing that Jesus Christ really emphasizes so that we understand the power of God, the greatness of God, the working of God. What is this that God is doing? What is it that God started? What is it that he's begun? And what is he doing in my life? And how? Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Because Paul says, it's God which worketh in you. Yes, I have a responsibility. Yes, I read the Bible. Yes, I pray. Yes, I trust God. Yes, I believe God. Yes, I try to obey the word of God. But what's more encouraging than that is what God is doing. What God is doing. Because you know what? There's days when I fail miserably. Yeah. Right? Come on now. How many times have you been working on a project and you've messed up? Right? You know why I was in landscape construction? Because you didn't have to use a tape measure. Because if I have to use a tape measure, I can guarantee one thing. I'm going to mess it up. I don't know how those things work. But I know how they work with me. I take that tape measure. I put it here. I put it here, okay? 32 inches probably, right? Okay, I looked 10 times, 32 1/4 inches. Then I look again because all those little lines, I get them all messed up. So I go 32 4 lines, okay? And then I write it down on a piece of paper, 32 4 lines. Then I put the piece of paper down. Usually I forget where I put the piece of paper. And then I walk over and I get my saw. And I get my saw and I come back over and now I'm going to cut the piece of wood. Right? I take the tape measure out. By this time I've forgotten where the paper is, so now I'm relying on my memory. All right? Okay. 33 7 lines. And then I check it. Yeah, I got it right. I wrote it in 33 7 lines. Then I cut it. Then I take that piece of wood and I go back. And how come it doesn't fit? Because I messed up. And you know what? We mess up all the time. We mess up all the time. Listen, we're frail. We're weak. We're humans. But God doesn't. And God doesn't stop working. John chapter 14. Check this out. John chapter 14. And here's the amazing thing. Here's Paul says, he's begun a good work in you, in you. And here it is in John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you. And look at this. And shall be in you. You know what, when you got saved, you know what God did? He gave his Spirit to live in you. Now listen, don't try and figure it out. Keep it simple. Just believe it. Paul says, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said to you. You know, I love the way the translators put it here. Because it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the person of the Spirit of God. But they use this word, the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because in their day, in their time, they wanted to emphasize something. They wanted to remember something. They wanted to be confident of something. Every time they use the Holy Ghost, that word, this is why it's in there. This is why it's in the English language. Because when they use the word Holy Ghost, to them, it reminded them that the Spirit of God is not out there, but the Spirit of God is in here. When you read the New Testament, and specifically you read, go to the book of Romans, because you know what? God gave you the Spirit of God to indwell your life. And He's the one that's making the difference. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost living in me, is the one that is doing the work. That's the power of God in my life. In Romans, we'll go to Romans chapter 5. All the way up to Romans chapter 5, it's about the gospel. Paul writes and he says, we come to this conclusion. We're all guilty. We've all sinned against God. And then he starts speaking about Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans chapter 5, now he's speaking about the blessing of salvation. And just the riches of knowing Christ and trusting Christ and believing on Christ and calling upon Christ and being saved. Therefore, being justified faith, we have peace with God. Boy, that's where it starts. Amen? The relationship, I'm reconciled unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in His grace when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And now Paul's going to start talking about life, the new life that we have. I was dead in my trespass and sin. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, God gave me life. And Paul says, and now you're going to see this life. But he says, I want you to first see what this life is all about, what this life means, how this life works. And look what he says. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And Paul right there, and you read through the book of Romans. In fact, chapter 6, boy, I tell you what, this is exciting, is it? Chapter 6, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. God forbid. How shall that we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says, we got a new life, and now we should walk in newness of life. And yet you say, how? This is me. I'm a jerk. Well, yeah, right? Don't say amen. Just look in the mirror. It's me. I know me, right? I know me. You know you. How? How can I live this new life? Well, you read. Listen, most people, they get stuck in Romans 6. And they get frustrated. And then they read Romans 7. And, wow, how's this going to happen? Get to Romans 8. Don't stop. Get to Romans 8. Because Romans 8 is where it's at. And it's not you. It's God working in you by the Holy Ghost, which He's given unto us. Look at Romans chapter 8. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Go down to verse number 8. They that are in the flesh can't please God. I can't please God in my flesh. But look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And Paul says, listen, it's not you. It's God in you. It's Christ in you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, I'm not going to read all of chapter 1. I would like to, but I'm not going to. But I want to go to chapter 2. Chapter 1, Paul says, listen, God didn't call the wise, the intelligent. He called you and me. And you know what? We're simple people. Listen, we're simple people, right? And God says, I want you simple people to have a simple faith. Just believe me. Trust me. But a simple faith in a strong God. Amen? A simple faith in a strong God. Because when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And folks, that's where it's all about. Listen, it's the power of God in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit in our life. And Paul says the first thing is understanding this, that the project that God is working on is you. And it's a continuing project. Because God said, be confident in this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a house. It's in the middle of a project. You come up and you see our road and you say, wow, what a driveway. No, it's a road to a housing. There's supposed to be a housing development going on there. And we've been living there. And you know, at times I enjoyed the project. In fact, I went out, talked with the guys, and they offered me a job to help them out. And I said, no, I'm just watching. And then last year we noticed something. And I called them up. Because one day I saw them come in, tractor trailers came in and everything. And one day they moved all the equipment off site. All the equipment, everything's gone. Last winter they didn't come and plow the road once. This spring they put a for sale sign up. So I called him up and I said, hey, what's going on? He said, well, you know how this works. I said, oh, yeah, I know how this works. And I said, I saw you take everything off the job site. I've watched. You see, they started something and they abandoned it. They abandoned the project. Now it's just it's a mess. Because they started something. They had plans. You look at the plans, you can see the pictures of what they proposed to do and their plans and everything else, and they started it. But at some point, they said, we're stopping. And they pulled all their equipment out. And they put a for sale sign up. Let me tell you something. That's not God. Number one, God's got a purpose. He's working. He's not pulling the Holy Spirit out of your life. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? God's not pulling. He's not yanking the Holy Spirit. He will never pull the Holy Spirit off the job. And he's definitely not putting a for sale sign up and selling you out to the devil. Amen. Wow, I tell you what. It's a good time to shout hallelujah. Amen. Right? Don't your heart just want to, you know, just shout for a minute? It's okay if once in a while you did, all right? But God's doing a work. And he said, I started it, I'm going to finish it. He's not abandoning you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you know, that's point number one. It's 10:29. Well, let's keep going. All right, point number two. It's a changing work. It's a change. Every project, you know, as you watch projects, you see changes all along the way, don't you? I don't mean God is changing. He doesn't change. No, the project is this. He's changing you. He's changing me. He's changing us. And a lot of times we don't see it. We don't see it. Others see it. But sometimes we don't see it. Is God really doing anything? But look at what it says. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 1 says it's a continual project. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it's God which worketh in you. And this is where the changes are taking place. This is why sometimes we don't see them, is because God says, I'm working inside you, right? Amen? A lot of times a doctor works on you and you can see what he's doing. You can see the, right? He puts a cast on. But a lot of times they're working and it's all internal medicine, right? And they're working inside you. And you can't see it. God says, I'm working in you. And look what he says. I'm working in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. He says, here's the work. He says, I'm working to change your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the work that God is doing is he's changing you from the inside out. He's changing your heart. He's changing your mind. Look at what is Philippians 2? Let this mind be in you. Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how's that happening? That's happening by the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God. And by the way, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Right? It says it can cut through right through the joints and the marrow, dividing the spirit and the soul. Listen, God says, my word is so powerful. And the Spirit of God is powerful. And the Holy Ghost takes the Word of God and begins to change the way that we think. Change our mind and our heart. And that affects our life. That's how, and you look at Philippians. You read through Philippians, right? Paul speaks about having joy. He speaks about having peace. He speaks about having contentment, being content. He speaks about being strong in the Lord. He speaks about all they're all inner things, folks. And who does the work? God does the work. In Romans chapter 14, it says this. Look at Romans chapter 14. Paul sums it up in Romans chapter 14. And here's what God's doing through the Holy Spirit indwelling you. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There it is again. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Why did they use that word? To emphasize the Spirit of God living in my life. And what is he doing? He's working in my life. Righteousness. He's sanctifying my life. Changing my heart. Changing my mind. Changing my love. Starts with the love of God, by the way. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. What did Jesus say? Two commandments. Love him and love others. And God says, that's the project I'm working on. To change you so that you love me more and so that you love others more than yourself. That's what Philippians 2 is all about. Righteousness. And then he says this. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Righteousness, joy and peace. And then when you look at Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Wait a minute. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Don't get ahead of me. No. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through what? Through the power or the effectual working of the Holy Ghost. There it is again. He says God's purpose is that we would abound. Not that we would lack, not that we just have a little, but he says, through the Holy Spirit living in you, working in you, that you would abound in what? Tell you what. Abound in hope, right? Abound in hope, peace, joy, righteousness, hope. God says, I'm working to bring that about in your life. Hey, look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. That I what? That I may know him. That I may know him. Right? That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, I want you to know. I want you to know some things. I want you to know in verse 18, the hope of his calling. I want you to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says, I want you to know how great God is and the power of God working in your life. Man, he says, that's what I want you to know. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in things that which is to come. Paul says that I would know him. You know, when I read Philippians, and I think, here's the project, right? God's work in you. Number one, to help you to grow. To grow. Why? Because he wants you to be more conformed to the image of Christ. He wants you to be more like his son. Don't you want to be more like Jesus than like yourself? Right? You know, some things are pretty obvious. Right? I mean, when you go buy a car, where do you go? I guarantee, well, I hope, I would think, you don't go over to the junkyard in Preston, do you? Right? Can you imagine walking up to the junkyard in Preston? I forget what. Boyd's. You know, Boyd's is where you have your cars hauled away, right? Can you imagine how foolish you would look to those guys if you go up that dirt road, you go in that little office there, Boyd's, and you walk in and, God, well, can I help you? Right? And you go, yeah, I want a brand new Subaru. What's he going to do, Ray? He's going to laugh you out the building, isn't he? Right? Where do you go when you want to buy a car? Well, you go down Broad Street, New London, if you got money. Right? And you look. You notice this year, by the way? You notice right on the corner. Boy, I tell you what, I drive by so many times. Right on the corner, there's a nice silver pickup truck with a plow on the front. You go up the street a little, on the left. Well, actually, they had two. Then you go up the left, and further up, there's another nice pickup truck with a plow on the front. You know how many times I've driven by and say, boy, I'd love to just stop in and say, give me the keys, right? So think about this, your life. What do you want? You want the junkyard over here? Or you want Christ over here, right? Listen, I want to be more like Christ, right? Right? Amen? Come on, say amen.
Right? Amen. All right? Hey, that I might know him. And that's what he's working. He wants you to grow. You know why? Because he wants you to be more conformed to the image of Christ. Because he's got a greater purpose in that. The reason why Christ wants us to grow is because he wants us to go. Because he wants to use us in the lives of other people. And it starts with love. It starts with loving him and loving others more than we love ourselves. And why? So that he gets glorified. So that he gets the glory. And so number one, there's a continuing work. God's working. Boy, I tell you what, that's so encouraging to me. It's exciting to me. Number two, it's a changing work. He's changing me, and he's changing you. And every change God does is good, right? You know, sometimes we look at our life and we see our life as a mess. I am a mess. Ever stop and think? Every project's a mess, right? You know, you drive out of here and you go down the left. It's a mess down on the left, down about getting over in Montville, isn't it? Right? It's a mess. Dirt all over the road. You look on the right and there's chain link fence. There's equipment in there and there's piles of dirt. What a mess. You know, at least once a week, I get to go down that next little road and see what's going on from the other perspective. But here's the thing. You go down Route 85 to the left. You get over Lyon, Montville. And forget the gravel pit on the left. But looking to the right, there's a project going on. How many of you remember what was there before? What was there before, Ray? Couple of junky houses, right? What colors were they? Yeah, right? One was uninhabitable, right? Hey, that was your life, right? That was your life. What a mess. What a place, right? And what did God do? God took your life, and he's, man, your life is a pit, right? And as I pulled you out of that pit, those houses are gone now. And now what you see is, I mean, you see a project, but it's a mess. And, you know, sometimes we look at our lives and say, but my life is a mess. Hey, just remember this. God took you from a place that was a greater mess. And you look at your life and you say, I don't get it. Just remember this. The project ain't over. God's in the middle of that project, right? And you know when a project's going on, there's tools all over the place, there's scraps all over. It's all over the place, right? But God says, but I know my purpose. You know what's going in down there? I can't wait for this project to be finished. Right? It's a convenience store, isn't it? That's why that big hole in front, correct me if I'm wrong, that big hole in front is where they're going to put the gas tanks, right? The gas pumps, right? And down behind it, they had to build a big wall and retaining wall. And I still don't understand how they got through zoning. But one day, I'm going to be excited because I'm going to be able to stop in there, and hopefully it'll be a convenience store like the one down the street where they make good hamburgers, and I'll be able to stop in and get some gas, you know, really cheap and expensive, right? And get some good food, right? And it's going to be a beautiful place. But right now, it's just a mess. Don't get discouraged about your life, folks. Remember, God said, I started a work. I'm working in you to do my will and my good pleasure, right? He says, I've got a purpose. So now let's see the completed work. Go to Philippians chapter 3. You know, because Paul says, listen, Philippians 1, he says, here's where the work started and it's continuing.
Philippians 2, he says, it's a changing work. God is changing you. God is changing you, right? But let's look at the completed work. Philippians chapter 3. And this is where we got to keep our focus, right? This is the hope of glory. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Because one day you're not going to look in the mirror, but one day you're going to see something. You're going to say, wow, what God did. Look at chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is from in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according, and here it is, according to the working. Who's working? His working. This isn't something you can do or I can do. No, this is God. This is what only God can do. Working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, he says, I show you a mystery. In a moment, in a twinkling of a star, the last trump, we shall be changed. 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. In fact, turn there. I want you to read it for yourself. 1 John chapter 3. Because this is the completed project. And one day, listen, one day, boy, I wish it was today, amen? You know, sometimes you look at projects, I just can't wait for it to be finished, right? Can't wait to be finished. One day, this building project God's working, it's going to be finished. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Amen? Look what it says. First John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Right? I can't imagine it. Can you imagine? I mean, hey, listen, when you go home, take your Bible, stand in front of the mirror, and read 1 John chapter 3. Look at yourself in the mirror. And then read this verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do that. Listen, listen, I'm a simple guy, and I love just putting it into simple application. Go home. I'm challenging you. Go home. You say, I'm going to look like a fool. Well, who cares? This has got to grip our hearts, folks. Take your Bible, right? Stand in front of that mirror. Look yourself in the mirror, and then read 1 John chapter 3 and says, wow, when this project is complete, it's going to be good. Amen? Because I'm not going to be like what I see in the mirror. I'm going to be like what I see in here. Tell you what, that's amazing, isn't it? That's God's greatness. That's God's power. You know, let me just finish up with it. You go out the left and you see a project that's just, it's in the middle. It's still being worked on. It's in progress. You go out to the right, and you come down to 395, and on the left, now I don't care whether you bank there or not, but there's a building on the left. What a building it is. Charter Oak, right? I mean, all you see now is this big, beautiful building. It's a beautiful building. They need to work on their landscaping a little, but it's a beautiful building. Beautiful building. Do you remember what they started with? Who remembers what? Yeah, ledge. Do you remember? How many remember seeing that site before they started? There was ledge. In fact, just look behind the building. You'll see the ledge. That ledge came all the way out, almost all the way out to Route 85, didn't it? Right? They spent millions of dollars getting rid of that ledge, getting rid of that rock. You know what that's got? Hey, That's what God had to do with you. He had to start with your stubborn, stony heart, didn't he? And he had to break your heart in pieces. And you humbled yourself and trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. And he started working like he's doing, not like he's doing, but like they're doing up on Route 85. But one day, that building's going to be complete. And it's going to be a beautiful building. Just like that project down on Route 85. And the difference is we're going to be changed. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. You know, God's working, folks. He's working in you. He's working in you. And Paul says, listen, let this mind be in you. Just believe God. Trust God. Obey God. But remember this. It's God that's working mightily. You know, I could take time and read other passages, but Paul says, Paul over and over again, he says, listen, it's the effectual working of God in my life. He says, I strive, but it's God working. It's God working. And he says, it's all of God's grace and it's God's power. It's God's spirit. It's God's word. But folks, I want you this morning just to understand one thing. God's doing a work in your life. Everyone, listen, you know why you're here today? Hey, God's doing a work in your life. Amen? God's doing a work in your life. He starts by getting your attention. He starts by calling you into himself. He starts by saving your soul when you trust in him for your salvation. And then he keeps working. What a project it is. You know, some projects are easy and some are difficult. But God is more powerful, amen? And he says, listen, I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. I've got a picture. I've got blueprints. He says, and I've got the power to do it, and I'm not quitting on you. Amen? Hey, that's a good phrase, by the way. God ain't quitting on me. Amen? It's not good English, but it works. God ain't quitting on me. Amen? I'm going to say that for the rest of the day. God ain't quitting. Sarah, say that. No, you want to do well in English, don't you, huh? All right, God is not quitting on me, right? He's working in me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray and thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that you're still working in us. Lord, that you're working in us mightily. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Lord, I pray if there's someone here, Lord, that needs to be saved this morning. Lord, maybe they've come. They've heard the word of God. Know that Christ died for them. Know that they've sinned against God. Know that Christ died for them. And know that God is willing and wants them to be saved and wants them to be forgiven. Wants to give them new life. Lord, I pray right now that someone might just right now just believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. That right now they say, dear God, I know I've sinned. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and rose again. And right now, dear God, please forgive me, save me. Right now, dear God. Right now, this day, this Sunday in March 2022, right now, dear God, please forgive me, save me. I trust in Jesus Christ. God has promised, he's promised you that if you call upon his name, he will forgive you, he will save you. Lord, I pray that, everyone here would know the working and the power of God in their lives. For your glory in Jesus' precious name, amen.